Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
Larry Smith is editor of The Moment. Wild, poignant, life-changing stories from 125 writers and artists, famous and obscure. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Oh, good. Nice to be here.
Okay. Hey, we posed this as our question of the day. Is there a moment that changed your life? I had our sort of resident comedian with some things, and I heard from a man who said that it was when he asked the woman who's now his wife to dance. Of course, you can go a couple of ways here, and you do this in the book. I mean, the moment can be something like that, asking your intended to dance, or it could be some terrible thing, you know, the death of a close family member or your own escape from death.
For sure. And when we posed the prompt on our website, smithmag.net, we really didn't know what we'd get. We knew that I knew that I'd been hearing over the years, just even the storytelling community I built and doing live events, that there was a sort of a question people always asked themselves, which was, what was the moment that changed my life? And they wanted to tell that story, and they wanted to ask that question of their friends. And you can see in the book, which is, you know, just a small fraction of what we got on the site, yeah, sometimes there's a war photographer in a foxhole in Afghanistan, and if he survives, he's going to finally spring into action and ask the woman to marry him, who he really should have been doing that for years. And other times, it's a subtle moment in your parents' kitchen when you watch your mom reading a book, and she's not making dinner, and, well, why is that? And for the writer Michael Castleman, because books were so important to his mother's life, and that really was the beginning of him wanting to become a writer.
Mm. So these people then came to you.
Yeah, by and large, whenever we do a book project at Smith Magazine, we just post a topic on the site, and the most popular one is the six-word memoir project, and the moment one is another, you know, our sort of latest one. And then we do a little bit of outreach. So there are just some, you know, a combination of some sort of well-known writers and famous folks and just sort of interesting people who we just sort of reach out to. So Jennifer Egan, who wrote Visit to the Goon Squad, you know, just won the Pulitzer Prize, a really great novelist. Mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, I'd love to hear what her moment was. So I courted her a little bit, and ultimately she decided, it took her some time to figure it out. She wrote about being 18, and she revisited her 18-year-old journals, and rereading them, she realized that some, you know, 20 years ago, that's when she really wanted to become a writer, and she became this big deal writer. So you don't even know the moment as it's happening often. But a lot of people reflect back to their childhood selves, their teenage selves, and they think, oh, that was the time when this really changed my worldview or what I wanted to do with my life or how I saw my place in the world among my family and friends.
Hmm. And I was just thinking, as I often do to my poor guests, that I can't remember a moment we're talking about. But come to think of it, in fact, I just did a piece for my history column in the Daily Gazette about me. Because it's 50 years now that I've been in radio. Another story is, I thought it was 40. My daughter had a point, oh, Dad, it's got to be 50. But I guess that was the moment, because it's what I did for a living for most of my life, not completely. And there was an audition, which I didn't win, but the moment was that the guy who won turned the job down. So I got the job, and then I've done it ever since.
And let's just say, yeah, and maybe you're running late that day, and so you don't even get to the audition, right? Or the guy doesn't turn the job, and it could change your whole life. And so that's sort of interesting. To some extent, you know, moments are, you know, a little bit, I think if you sort of analyze the book, you'd see there's a little bit of luck, but of course, you know, luck favors the willing, you know. And there are moments that people really push themselves to get, that, you know, they sort of worked for. And so life-changing moments don't always happen in an instant, but sometimes they're an instant that's, you know, the culmination of a lifetime or, you know, a few years of trying to get somewhere.
Do you have a moment, Larry?
Well, I have a couple of moments, of course. And you know, the moment that I didn't write about, because I think others did it so much better than I, was the birth of my son a year ago. And to some extent, that's the most personal moment and the most universal moment, to have someone new come into your life, and then his moments like happen every minute. And then I have the one I wrote about a little bit in the introduction is a very unique, I think it's unique, a moment of being in high school and having a health problem. And my parents wanted me to get help, and I sort of refused. And finally, one day, in their bedroom with my mom in tears. And my dad, you know, at the end of his rope, I said, okay, I'll get help. And it was just a moment of exhaustion, of exhausting myself and my parents and those around me. And I don't, as I say in the book, I never really speak about it publicly, but I felt that if I'm going to ask people to give the most honest story of their life, to reveal stories of overcoming cancer and stories of dealing with, you know, family members in prison, or of just making that decision that they didn't want to make, but ultimately it helped them become the person they became, I should also give a part of myself.
Larry Smith is editor of the book The Moment, and also operates the you can submit your moment to smithmag.net. I'd like to back up with you a little bit. What is Smith Magazine, and what is the personal storytelling explosion?
Well, I started Smith Magazine in 2006, and the idea was that it was going to be an online magazine that would eventually have a print component. We never made the print component, but instead we decided to make books. And so it's called the magazine, but it's really a storytelling community. And the online storytelling explosion is really this. We're all storytellers. We all want to tell stories. There's no better part of a barbecue. You know, the barbecue is good and the hamburgers are good, but the stories you share with each other in the yard or at the cocktail party or at a birthday party, that's the best part. And so, you know, I could see 6 years ago that the web was going to make it easier for anyone to tell stories, to share their stories in words, images, video, what have you. And so I created this site, and I didn't know what would happen. And we put it up there. We thought if we give people a nice-looking place to tell stories, make it easy, not ask for a lot of information, you know, not be privacy invaders, people would come and they'd want to tell stories, and they really have in droves.
Mm. Well, you'd certainly find it all the time. I write about local history. And in fact, my book that I've got out now is called Stories from the Mohawk Valley, and we're running a kind of an old-fashioned contest to get people's stories from the past. But I would say, separate and apart from what I'm doing or even what you're doing, I mean, I see all over Facebook, even in that one little area I just described, local history, Amsterdam area of New York, there's a Facebook group called I Grew Up in Amsterdam, New York. I'm sure there's one for Peoria, Illinois, and this and that. I mean, people are always out there telling their tales.
That's it. They want to tell their tales. They want to share their history. They want to preserve history. And things like Facebook and Smith Magazine and lots of other places, they make it just very easy to share these tales, for folks to forward them to other friends, and it's a very, you know, I know certainly at Smith Magazine we're trying to be a playing field where it's level, where anyone can come. And so, yes, in the books we have Jennifer Egan and Dave Eggers and Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have read that. But anyone can come to Smith and share a life-changing moment or a six-word memoir, and that's the way it should be. And in the book, you know, most of the authors are people who've never been in a book before, writing about their first kiss or writing about something that happened to them in grade school. And they realize, in fact, A.J. Jacobs wrote about being in third grade and watching his teacher freak out. And at that moment, he realized that actually adults are kind of, you know, they make mistakes too, and they're quite fallible, as it turns out.
What is the Eat, Pray, Love lady? What was her moment?
Her moment is really sweet. So Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, about, you know, traveling across the world, when I said, you know, Elizabeth, what's your moment? What's your life-changing moment? You've had such a big life. And she said, well, it really goes back to being 4 or 5 years old, and for the first time, I overheard my parents talking to each other like adults, not like my parents. And at that moment, she realized she was not the center of the universe. They existed, they had their own lives. And she said, it was very scary and very exhilarating. And if you just catapult the Elizabeth Gilbert story, that story makes a lot of sense. And it's a story she'd never told before.
Amen. Also, I noticed a couple of names even I recognize here, like Melissa Etheridge and Judy Collins, the singers.
Right. So yeah. we did approach some famous folks, people who's storytellers we like, and Melissa Etheridge wrote a great story. Now, most people know she's battled with cancer, and she's been a real brave face of cancer, and I thought she might write about that, and I thought she might even write about singing at the Grammys right after she was diagnosed and in chemotherapy. But what I didn't know was that she would talk about that moment when she decided not to wear a wig on TV, and so millions of people saw her, and she said, from that moment on, I know what I'm doing. I'm going forward as a real face of cancer and bravely. And, you know, that was her moment. And so many people, I'm sure, who saw that, her sing that night. She sung A Piece of My Heart by Janis Joplin, who watched her video on YouTube. Those could be moments for them, because you see her doing that, and if you're dealing with, you know, any health issue, but certainly cancer, there's just so much courage there.
What about Judy Collins?
Well, Judy Collins' moment was a more sweet, subtle moment, and that was just the first time she heard a song. I believe it was the early 1950s, and she's about 14 years old, and she hears a folk song on the radio. And in that moment, she decided that singing was going to be her life, and she went out and she bought the song. And she the song was, let me get the song. It was The Gypsy Rover by Elton Hayes. And, you know, she said that song simply changed my life. And she bought a copy of it, and she never looked back. And that was really the beginning of the Judy Collins story. And Grammys and millions of records later, one song in 1954 became the start of Judy Collins as we know her.
Wow. And I don't even remember his name, but I got a kick or something. I thought it was an interesting tale. This writer who heard his father's typewriter, or his father's typing away, and he thought, boy.
Oh, Alan Chuse. Yeah, Alan Chuse is the book critic for NPR, and he just said the sound of those keys, really, I think we call the piece Those Old Keys. He heard the sound of his father clicking away on an old, I believe it was a Remington typewriter, and he didn't know what he was doing, but he got closer and closer, and he saw these letters coming out, and he was drawn in, the spinning of the typewriter, and that was it for him, and now he's, you know, gone on to be one of the great, you know, book critics of our time.
What's next for Smith Magazine?
Well, our next book, we're going back to the six-word memoir project. We've done five books of six-word memoirs, and we're working on a six-word book just for kids. We've done one book just for teenagers, by teenagers. We're doing one for kids, and we're going more into faith. We're doing a book coming out in March, Six Words on the Jewish Life, and we'll look into all the other religions as well. But I'm a Jewish Smith, and I know that we're very wordy people, and I thought, well, can I get the Jews to talk in just six words and make sense of their life?
Where did you come up with that concept of six words?
Well, I borrowed it with a little bit of a twist from Ernest Hemingway. There's a legend that you probably remember, and some of your listeners do, that Hemingway was once challenged to write a whole novel in just six words. As the story goes, he wrote, "For sale, baby shoes, never worn." So that was the six-word novel, as the legend goes. And I had started Smith Magazine already, and I thought, well, what if we gave it a personal twist, called it the six-word memoir, threw it up on the site as a one-month challenge, and in 5 years, and about half a million six-word memoirs later, and many books, and a board game, which is really fun, and a something taught in classrooms and used as an icebreaker in churches and in therapy groups. The six-word memoir project really lives on. It's just taken some wild turns I never expected.
Larry Smith, I thank you very much for joining us today. He's the founding editor of Smith Magazine, editor of their latest book, which is really in print. I mean, you can probably get it in an ebook as well, but it's called
It's a fun one to flip through.
Yes, indeed. Called The Moment. Wild, poignant, life-changing stories from 125 writers and artists, famous and obscure. Thank you very much, Larry, and have a good day.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet.